But it's a problem that I think Chase kind of has to look at himself, figure it out, and look at himself that says, like, okay, I've been hearing this for a while. All these things are happening. If I go down, why is this stuff happening? Why is this happening? Is it the bike? Whatever it is. Well, Chase can look 10 feet from him, see a red number plate 18, and realize that he needs to change his stuff. I don't know. The kitchen was on fire and he showed up and it was a brand new kitchen with all new appliance, with all the new looking designs. And you're like, damn, where'd you get that spatula from? Where'd you get that? Is that the new oven? I don't know. Hayden has a chance. And I just think Hayden's built for that. You know, his mindset is one of the best suited riders out there right now, as far as why I feel like he was the best to attack Hunter. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And of course, you know where we at. We're at the Rewind Show, baby. From round 22, round 5 of the Motocross Series. And guess what we at? We at Red Bud, baby. Red Bud.
A Red Bud National.
4th of July weekend. The atmosphere was unbelievable. Your boy was there at the race, so I got to feel it all. Your boy even got in the Hall of Fame, which was a surprise, which is awesome, by the way. Thank you very much. They were cheering my name on Red Bud. On the podium.
How about this, Earl James Stewart in the Red Bud Hall of Fame? And this meant a lot to you.
Yeah, I kind of got emotional on it, just being here with these fans. It's been a long time since I've been up on a podium, any kind of sort. But back here at Red Bud for 4th July weekend, it was a special moment for me, and I'm honored to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, but really just honored to be in front of these fans again. They were screaming Red Bud all day.
But that's old news. We got to talk about the new news. We had Jason Anderson coming back. We had Chase Sexton coming back. We had a few debuts in the 250 class. And of course, you have both Lawrence boys. Will they continue to success? Will they be dominant? Would Chase Sexton come back and show Jet Lawrence that the only reason he's been winning? Because I've been gone. Jason Anderson and Cynthia. Jason Anderson and Siggy. I got it right that time. Would he show up? Well, let's find out. So you know what we're going to do. Let's get into it. So up in the Chicago area, Indiana, Michigan, because if you flew into Chicago, you went through three different states. It felt like there was a lot of action. You had the NASCAR, you had the IndyCar going on, and then you had Red Bud. So if you were a race fan, that was the era that you wanted to be in. Since it was the 50th year anniversary, they wanted to have some of the older changes. They rerouted the start, went back to the old school start, which is, I feel like, a lot dangerous, but we'll touch on that in a little bit. You had the change before the leap. You had a few different changes on the racetrack that they wanted to do that because it was the 50th anniversary. And overall, I actually like the way this track sets up better. It just creates more passing opportunities, but it's like they had old school with a little bit of new school. And sometimes that made a little bit of one liner, but overall it was perfect weekend. It was hot, but it wasn't like super humid. So I've been in Red Bud a few years where people were like dying. My mechanic one time was like stuck in the cooler. He couldn't even work on my bike. It was so damn hot. It wasn't like that. But the fans, they were loud. They were crazy. And the riders, each one of them, you talk to them, even from the riding style, when you talk to them, they were excited. So a lot of changes, but at the same time, with things remain the same. And it seemed like they did, but there was a lot of action. So we need to get into it.
Let's go. Deegan getting squeezed on the outside. I think it might be a hole shot coming for the 96. And he's got the first moto starts figured out this time. Motosport.com hole shot to Hunter Lawrence. Deegan right behind him.
Of course, the 250 class. That's what we're going to start at. First moto. Hunter Lawrence emphasized that he wanted to focus on the practice and qualifying to get better gate position for his pick. So I didn't really see that as a problem. Like, I never thought that he was having issues coming into this thing. Like, okay, was he qualifying like 10th or something? I thought his, you know, average like 5th. And in outdoors, there's probably like 10 gates that you can really hole shot, 10 gates at outdoor, which is like the five best gates in Supercross. There's just more options to be able to do it. So I didn't think that was hindering him. But nonetheless, he qualified second. We had Daxon Bennett show up for the first time, had a freeway at the racetrack. I don't care to do it. Was going fast. He had the fastest lap time. But Hunter Lawrence emphasized on going fast in practice to get a better gate position. And boy, he showed up the first moto like he's been showing up the second motos and was dominant. Kid rode better than he has since last time I seen him ride, and he rode pretty damn good then. But nobody was keeping Hunter Lawrence. And you have to think, Hayden Deegan, they saw what he was able to do that second moto last weekend, and I feel like Hayden's been getting better every weekend. Justin Cooper was getting better, but he had that incident at High Point. So coming into this weekend, they had to kind of stop, dude, because Red Bud's usually like the halfway round, halfway point of if you got a chance – it's usually right now, and the guys that are going to be towards the end, they usually show up at Red Bud, even though everybody shows up, but it's still going to be the same. And they had to stop Hunter Lawrence, and they didn't. They didn't stop him. The only thing that stopped him was a big first corner pileup, and he went down. But Hunter Lawrence rode great. Hunter Lawrence was dominant. And I even said after that first moto, like the way he was able to basically continue what he did the last few motos, the end of the second motos, and how he rode at High Point, having that weekend off, he looked better. And for him and Hayden getting out front, even Justin Cooper, they were up there. They were top 10s off the start. Hunter just ran away from him, and I felt like that was dangerous because that was the only place that you could say maybe they had a chance, and that was that first moto just getting off the gate. Well, he hole shot it, and they didn't see anything else, and Hayden couldn't even keep him in sight for a while. But nonetheless, what happened the second moto changes things a little bit. Hayden was the second closest guy in points, but even just overall, like he's been the most consistent, and speed-wise, like he's been pretty good. I think Justin Cooper's crash last weekend kind of halted that momentum as far as being like, if he can continue that speed, then he would be that threat. His crash at High Point stalled that out. So it's really going to be Hayden Deegan. They get off 1-2 off the gate, and Hunter just runs away from him. And I know for a fact that usually when you have a break, you come in, and especially you have a break coming into Red Bud, the track's great. There's really no excuses. Like, you're healthy, and then to watch a guy just kind of pull away from you when like you're his biggest threat, kind of demoralizing. So they were on danger line. Like, I know Hayden was feeling dangerous. Shout out, by the way, love the butt patch and all that. Like, you were dangerous, and overall at the end of the day, you did get pretty damn dangerous.
Definitely I'm feeling dangerous. I'm sending it, and I'm sending it for America.
But the dangerous part was what was happening at first moto, and I didn't see at any point at the way Hunter was riding that day, Hayden wouldn't been able to stop him. Cooper wouldn't been able to stop him. The only thing that stopped him was what ends up happening, and it was a shock to all of us. That second moto, if you look at the gate, Hunter Lawrence got a great jump the first moto. Great jump. He had the whole shot the first 5 feet out. Gone. And when you line up on the inside, especially at that start when they go back to the original, if you go that far to the inside, you have to beat all the guys on the inside of you. Like, that's the only worry that you got to have. Well, if you look at the second moto, Hunter does not get a good jump, and Hunter does not beat the guys on the inside of him. And I think it's maybe Ryder D or one of those guys, Seth Handmaker, looking at right now. I think it's Justin Cooper, Levi Kitchens in front of him. But if you notice, Hunter doesn't beat the guys on the inside of him. And with Red Bud, you got the guys on the inside, and if you line up on the inside, you have to go back. Kind of like Thunder Valley, if you line up on the far inside, you have to actually go opposite of which way the corner is going. And so all those guys on the inside want to get there first because then they have to shed off compared to the guys on the outside. They're wide open. So you get this effect. So if you don't beat the guys on the inside and you're in the middle, you're dictated on, like, you can't turn until the guys on the inside of you turn. And if the guys on the inside of you get a jump and they look like they can possibly get a hole shot, they're not backing off. So they start moving over, and they almost don't turn as quick as they probably would if they're in the back, because they feel like they can get the whole shot. And by getting the whole shot, you have to be on the back, basically drifting out because you're not letting off. Well, that puts Hunter in a bad position because these guys are closing in and these guys are closing in, but these guys don't turn as quickly as they should because they get the whole shot and they're like wide open hanging out. And that's what you see with that. Hunter gets caught in the middle, sandwich, and once you start going right on a left-handed corner. Then you get this incident, and it was nothing shocking besides that it was Hunter Lawrence, and it was shocking. But every time you've seen that start, and probably the reason why they did change it is because that happened so much. I've been in a couple of those. It sucks. And to be honest, like, the safest spot is to be is on the outside, like where like 30th, 40th on the gate, because then like you're too far out to even like, if something like that happens, like you can just shed it back down, or be so far on the inside and don't get a start. Then you just wait. You have to back off throttle and just wait for everybody to domino effect. But anyways, like, that is one of the sketchiest starts on the season when they have it set up like that. Like, I remember showing up at this race knowing that, damn, that Red Butt start, my first year, I went down in that, the first gate drop ever at Red Butt, I went down in that start just like that. And they told me, be careful on that start. Be careful on that start. And I went down on it. So I know that feeling of like, man, that's a sketchy thing. And Hunter Lawrence got it. It looked pretty bad. You know, he got up and I thought for sure it was his risk, and kind of looked like Eli Tomac did, like at Denver at earlier this year. Like, you kind of know when you look at another rider that, damn, that dude hurt. Jeremy Martin, like, you know, when you saw him, he hurt. And that's what I felt like with Hunter. So shout out to him that everything's okay. Shout out to Lars and Honda for being open and letting us know. That was super cool of them. They don't have to, and usually teams don't. But that was really cool of Honda to kind of let us know. And that gives us fans hope that the series is going to be, you know, still pretty close. This points, all it does is make it more exciting. I'll talk about like what happens in mental on the next guys or what that does with Hunter Lawrence being out. But shout out to all those guys, and I'm glad Hunter is somewhat okay. Let's hopefully he shows up at Southwick and gives these boys a run. But that allowed Danger Boy to get his first overall. And I wouldn't even say that allowed it, because he still had to go out there and execute. You have to know that he already knew pretty quickly that Hunter was out. And you had Levi Kitchen just all of a sudden, like, just, I don't know, the kitchen was on fire, and he showed up, and it was a brand new kitchen with all new appliance, with all the new looking designs. And you're like, damn, where'd you get that spatula from? Where'd you get that? Is that the new oven? I don't know. Levi was like, riding like Levi was all day long. Like, I was watching Levi in practice, and he was trying, and Hunter Lawrence like almost ran into him in the beginning. He shed it off, and then he was cruising, and then he caught him at the end, and you could tell Levi was still on the fast lap. But the way Levi was riding, he's like the younger version of Jason Anderson, just hanging out the back, shirts all tucked, that weird ass hairstyle. It's only a Red Butt, but Levi rode that second moto, and I don't even know if Hunter Lawrence was out there. Hunter Lawrence might have had a problem with Levi, and I know that was dictated off a start, but I think just with him, like, just like what he did at Thunder Valley last year, it just comes out of the middle of nowhere. And that kid's fast. That kid's fast. He's fast enough to just run away from these guys. It wasn't even close. It looked like Hunter Lawrence. So he had him out front, but I don't think Hayden was worried about that at some point, whether his mechanic told him pretty quickly that Hunter was out and he had the overall position, or he just realized like he ain't seen no red bike coming up. Whatever it was, Hayden was able to execute that race and get it. You could tell there were some things that were starting to change. I don't know if that was from Hunter being out or the fact that he knew that, look, all I got to do is finish this thing off and I'm going to have my first win, because he was starting to tighten up a little bit. But Danger Boy did exactly what he needed to do. I don't even think he was worried about Vial like passing him, because he already knew that, look, I don't even need this position. He executed it, and to get your first victory at Red Bud on America's birthday, which he had a shout out to that. That kid's smart. He knows what's up. The whole family's there. His sister's there. Dad was there. Pretty damn special. And I like what I saw from that kid, because as excited as he was, he knew like there's more. And now it gets real. Now it gets real, because we don't know what's going to happen with Hunter. Now you're back in this championship, kind of where you were a couple weeks ago before you lost all those points. Now you're back into this deal. Now, if Hunter's out, then you become the guy. Like, all of a sudden, you become Hunter Lawrence, where everybody's chasing you. And as a rookie, never being in that position, I think Hayden's one of the best rookies. His mindset, or one of the best guys in that field to be able to deal with that situation, just because how he is mentally. But still, I'm gonna talk to you like I'm talking to Hayden. Just embrace it, embrace the nerve. So for a moment, we all thought Hunter was gonna be out, and there was gonna be that all of a sudden, Hayden inherits all that pressure. It was gonna be on him. Now we found out Hunter is gonna be in Southwick. We don't know, is he gonna be 100%? How everything's gonna be. Last time he was at Southwick, he was getting cross jumped by Styles Robinson. That boy was hot. I don't know if that's gonna happen. He went like 8-8 at Southwick, or will he come back and just be like he was at first moto? The fact is that we already kind of know this quickly that he's gonna be back. Tells me that he's got, you know, 7 days almost to kind of heal up. He'll be pretty much close to 100%. But nonetheless, Hayden has a chance. And I just think Hayden's built for that. You know, his mindset is one of the best suited riders out there right now. As far as why I feel like he was the best to attack Hunter, I thought his mindset and how he is, his grittiness, and he's a rookie, just don't know no better, was going to be suited to be the closest for Hunter compared to like Justin Cooper might have more speed, or Joe Shimoda might have more experience. Hayden just has that, like, I don't give a damn. I'm feeling dangerous and I'm going to go out and do it. And he was able to do it this weekend. But Hayden's going to start having that pressure now. As you see, those top fives, even if he goes down in the first corners, those top fives, like, he ain't happy with it. Like, he's bad that he's not winning. Even that first moto, like, yeah, a couple races ago, like, he would have been like, cool, like, I got second. You could tell this kid wants more. And right now, with Hunter having to be maybe, like, this is your opportunity to come in and seize that moment. Like, Southwick, can't stress to you enough how important it is for Hayden. If Hayden comes in there and beats Hunter, we got a series. Hunter comes out and wins this thing, then nothing's changed. So you just lost all those points the second moto. So Hayden knows that. Hunter knows that. And I think just like we had in the 450 class, how Jet Lawrence was riding, like, it's going to be up to them to kind of settle that. So I think Hayden just needs to embrace the nerves, embrace the fact that there is a lot of pressure on you. You probably aren't going to feel good because you feel like that opportunity is like right there, and you probably won't ride as good as you want to do. Just embrace that. Embrace it. Just as nervous as you are, he's just as nervous on trying to stop you, because he knows if he doesn't stop you, then everything gets dangerous. So you both are in the same position. I just think Hayden, like, the more, if he tries to fight that, he's going to end up going like 8-8 like Hunter did last year. If he doesn't and he continues to ride what he is and just continue to get better, then he'll be a threat. And no matter what, just like how dominant and the best Hunter did that first moto, how, like, you couldn't hold a candle to him. He felt the best. You had what happened in that second moto. You just never know. So you just got to be there. So Hayden Deegan, just keep what you're doing. Congratulations, kid. Have your first ever overall victory. You had your first win a few weeks ago. Congratulations, America's Weekend. And you stopped the streak of the Australian dominance from the Hunter Lawrence boys. And you know we're going to have to give you something special. But before I give you something special, I'm going to have to talk about a couple other people real quick. And then I'm going to give you something special. But hey, Deegan, great job. You killed a kid. And hopefully it continues. Well, your boy's going to be at Southwick getting to call that on live on NBC. So y'all better show up on that. At the top of the show, on the broadcast, I spoke on, even though Hunter Lawrence has been dominant, and I wouldn't be surprised if he went 1-1, and just how he rode that first moto wouldn't surprise me. Also wouldn't be surprised if what we saw that second moto and Levi Kitchen just running away from him. The reason I said that is because that 250 class, even though you got one guy winning it, it still feels pretty open. Like, it still is open. We see if Hunter gets a bad start, someone else can win. That's the openness in that. Like, he's not, even though he's coming up through the pack, like, he's able to come up, but he's got to just march his way up. Like, he's not able to just pass like 3-4 guys in there because everybody's pretty damn close. And coming into this race, I still felt like he's so dominant, but it was still pretty open. And you had guys like Tom Vial. Tom Vial was going to get better. And coming into this weekend, you had to just think with him being able to ride the Motocross Nations there, having the press day there, and just the soul at Red Bud. It's one of those tracks that, look, once you just figure out the lines of the track and how to ride it, it's not one of those tracks that you got to figure out how to ride the particular track. Like, Red Bud's, the reason why it's one of the favorite for all the riders is because no matter how rough it gets, it's a rough that it's like a motocross rough. It's not like a Thunder Valley rough or like a Paula or like back in the day at Glen Helen. Like it's a particular one-off racetrack kind of rough. The soil makes the bikes just a rough motocross track. Like, and I think with Tom Bial, like he wouldn't have to come in here and deal with how to set up his motorcycle to ride that particular track. And so I felt like all the guys, no matter what, even if you're struggling on the suspension, all the guys are just going to be pretty much on the same playing field because nobody's bike is going to work better because they got it set up this way. It's all going to be about how they felt, were they in shape. And Red Butt, because the soil the way it is, the way that track is laid out, it just allows all the riders to be able to come here and just race. That's why it's one of the favorites, everybody's favorites. Butts Creek is another track that's like that, where the bike setup is not necessarily the main factor. And so you can show up from Europe and just come in and ride that track. And it's not going to be like showing up at Europe and be like, well, you got to know how these bumps evolve. You got to know how this track evolves. So I got to start setting my bike up because I know this track gets really rutted and the way it works, I can't have it that stiff. Red Bull, you don't got to worry about that. Like it's going to be just rough. It's going to be a motocross track and anything works. And so Tom Bial, he rode good. That's first moto. He rode good second moto, rode better second moto. First moto, he came in, he had the incident with Ryder D. And at first on the broadcast, I saw it. I was like, oh, it's a racing incident. But then when I had the replay, I saw Ryder D go on the inside, make a mistake, freak out, try to cut him off, which is what I would have done. And that part was a racing incident because look, he was just trying to shut the door off. But at the end of the day, it was his fault because most of the guys that went inside, they went outside on the next one. He was just trying to cut the dude off. They came together. I don't think there was no ill intentions on like trying to knock each other down. That's why I feel like it was a racing incident, but it was clearly Ryder D's fault. They both got really lucky that it wasn't even worse. But I think Tom, he crashed. He said he crashed like two or three other times after that. But second moto, he was able to stay up and rode like he did at second moto at High Point. And I just think he's getting better. But coming into this track, it was going to be one of the racetracks of all year that he does not have to worry about how the track evolves and sets up. And so it would allow him to just be, just in general, the two-time world champion. And I think that's what we was able to see. His problem is, I don't think he's quick in the beginning part of the races that these guys are. So he allows other guys to get away. And then by the end, it's just hard to catch up. But he's riding really good, and I still feel like he will win the race. He just got to get better in the beginning part. And then you had Justin Cooper coming in off throat injury. Wasn't really sure how he was going to come back. You saw this weekend, and when I say Red Butt's just a motocross track, you saw how Justin Cooper, he was fast, but everybody was kind of within the same like few seconds, like top 10 was within the same lap times where Justin Cooper has certain other tracks. He could be like 2 seconds faster or there will be a gap. Well, the speed was there, but the speed was a lot closer to everyone else because of the way the track setup was. So Justin Cooper didn't have that speed advantage. And the fact that he probably was still a little banged up, you can tell in that second moto that he was laboring a little bit, but at the same time, he was stoked on how his performance was. What he said on the podium, I actually thought exactly the opposite of what he said he felt like. I thought maybe he would be bummed.
Yeah, man, I always want to win, but we'll definitely take it today. We worked hard from the back.
I thought there was an opportunity like miss, but he was stoked. And that just tells me that he was probably hurt worse than what we all think he was. So shout out by him to be able to come out here and get 4-4 and being able to actually gain some points on Hunter Lawrence because it wasn't looking like that. So for all these guys, It was a good showing. Southwick is a whole different animal. I think Southwick, it really comes into, it does a little bit more bike setup, but it's about how you ride a motorcycle. So it's going to be interesting to see how all these guys get into that. Justin Cooper should be pretty good. All these guys should be pretty good, but we'll find out who's the man in toughness because Southwick is a whole different animal. If you tired at Red Bull, you definitely going to be tired at Southwick. But all that being said, Joe Shimoda still has the same problems. It sucks. I don't know. I almost feel like it's getting in his head to the point to where, like, I don't even know what's up with Average Joe. And I'm going to say Average Joe because, like, his finishes are averages. And there was moments of that race, even the first moto, where you could just tell other guys just, they don't give a shit. Now, I'm just being honest with you. They don't care. Like, they don't care. And it makes it hard for Average Joe. Makes it hard for him. And I think it's starting to get to him because he is faster. And I know Joe was coming in to be possibly a championship threat. I know there was a lot of pressure on him from Mitch Payton, all his things, all of them. Not because they're just putting pressure on him, because they know how good he is. But I'm starting to see him just finish where he's at. Like, it's almost like it's getting worse to where he is. So Average Joe, like, come on, Far East Coast. I need it. I need better. And coming in this weekend, you had that crazy performance last year. You had that crazy dominant performance at Second Moto. So I thought you were going to be able to show it up. You had some incident. Yeah, you fell over. But you were there, and it was just that first moto. I'm like, all right, when he's going to come? When he's going to come? And he just never came. So, Joe, I don't know, bro. Like, get out your head. You're way better. You just going to have to do something. Mitch Payton, you know, I don't know. You know what to do. I thought Seth Handmaker rode pretty damn good. Like, actually rode really damn good. Ryder D rode good. Come on, Joe. Come on, bro. Like, we need you back. So take all the bitches out. I don't know. But all I do know is that there was a special moment this weekend. There was special. It's like his first. You know what that first is like. Those firsts just never forget. And this one, he'll never forget. I know it, maybe not like the way he wanted it. I know he wanted to go like 1-1, get a victory in this. But nonetheless, like, you got it. You got it. It just might have just showed up. You're like, all right, come on home, whatever it is. And you got it. Might not have been that first when you won it, but you did it. And what he was able to do was so special. And we were waiting for, like, how his dad reacted. Were we going to see a bike lunge? Were we going to see this? I don't know. Backflip? I don't know. But Hayden Deegan, I'm loving it, kid. I see what the future's like. And it's going to be the first of many. And what you going to get the first of many from the first time on the show? Hit it, phone call.
Suntan, necks on fire.
Neck burn! Neck burn! I got to give you a special red butt neck burn. And people, it was Americans' holiday, America's birthday. So we got to give Hayden Deegan some love, because he gave us a birthday gift. Otherwise, it was going to be Australian show, which I don't have no problem with. But hell, you know what? He knew what was up, and he was feeling dangerous, and it was cool to watch him. Great feeling to have your dad there. I know for me, man, that was the most special part, having my dad there, but especially on this weekend, stopping the streak, getting your first one. Congratulations, kid, from here. Me personally, JS7. Congratulations, Bubba's World. Even Cole. Cole's going to hit you with a congrat. Hit it for him, Cole. Hit, just say congratulations. I don't know.
Congrats, Deegan.
That was odd, but hell, he gave you one. And Cynthia, she giving you a congratulations.
Siggy,
yeah. She gave you. She was happy to see her daddy back. Well, she probably didn't even know her daddy was back, but he'll be back. We'll talk about him in a second. But congratulations, Hayden. Well, job well done. Job well done. Continue it up. Southwick, another beast. But you can do it. Congrats, kid. Now, the 450 class. Let's just say it's been pretty much, we just know who's going to win. We had a little German chocolate sighting. We had an almost last weekend, a couple weekends ago at Mount Morris. But Jet Lawrence would be able to come do his thing. Look like he was just decided whenever he wanted to do it. He just did it. Would that continue this weekend with Chase Sexton coming back? We had Jason Anderson coming back, new baby daddy. Would all that change? Well, you had to know that the way Jet Lawrence was riding that practice, that he knew what was on the line. He knew what he wanted to do. And I talked about it a little bit, but I'll talk about it a little bit more. It reminds me of 2010 when I came back at Unadilla, when I was watching, where I was in Chase Sexton's position, where I saw this rookie come in. His name was Ryan Dungey. And I was able to beat Dungey at the first race, got hurt at the second one, and pretty much I watched him win the championship, Supercross championship, and then he was winning outdoors. But I saw him on TV, and I was like, man, I know I can get him. I know I can get him. And what I was concerned was two things. One, I wanted to get on Motocross Nations, and one, I wanted to get back racing. So I guess it'd be three things. But I was concerned not about coming and, like, winning the motos and all that. I wanted to be able to show Ryan Dungey that the only reason he won that championship, the only reason he's winning this championship, is because JS7 ain't there. So I wanted to come back at Unadilla and kind of show that. And so I came back at Unadilla, and I wasn't able to show that. And I feel like with Chase Sexton, he said on the thing that he just didn't feel right at Paula. He's sitting at home watching Jet Lawrence win these races. And Chase knows, and Jet knows, that it's not about coming and winning Red Bull. What it is about coming and stopping this kid from believing that he's so good and he's winning all these races that he doesn't matter who just shows up, I'm going to beat you anyway. He's really trying to stop that from 24, because every race that Jet wins, every time that you're not there, and no matter who he's beating, he can be beating me at home. He can beat grandma. He's getting confidence at doing that. AKA Hayden Diggett, AKA Chance Hymus. Like, you see all these things, Ty Masterpool. You know, confidence does a lot for these guys. And Chase understands that the longer he's off, it's going to be harder to stop this for next year. So I said that he's partly coming back because he wants to stop what's happening in 2023. He wants to stop that from happening in 2024, and he needed to come out. So Ken Roczen showed him that, look, I could probably come out here and do this. So Chase Sexton came in with an attitude of, like, I don't know if he felt like he was going to win the race, but he wanted to come in with speed. Jet Lawrence knew he came in, he wanted to come in and do that. That's why Jet Lawrence in that practice was making more mistakes and looked like he actually was riding. One of the first things I seen, I'm like, damn, all right. That was the first time really all year since Paula, since he was trying to make that fast laugh and make send a message, was the first time you saw him look like he was actually trying to ride. And the reason he was doing that, why? Because was he worried about Chase Sexton? Like, I mean, what? Anybody else? Chase hasn't even been racing. He was sending a message, and the message was sent. Like, he was able to send it. So Chase Sexton, Jason Anderson, they were both coming back. They both were in two different spots. I felt like Jason Anderson would be able to come in and go like 5-5, and nobody would really give them. Like, you know, I don't mean that with disrespect. I just mean, like, Jason would be able to kind of and get his feet underneath them. Like, nobody was really thinking that he would come in and win the race. I mean, he wasn't even really thinking that he was going to win the race. And when you see a guy with the big-ass fan sitting on the gate and other guys are looking at him, it ain't a good look. Like, you just kind of know. You see his, like, you're like, damn, it's windy out here. He's got a fan. So you could just tell, like, he wanted to get back here racing, which was great to see him. But he was in a different spot than Chase Sexton. Chase Sexton had a lot of pressure on him because, one, it's his hometown. And, two, Jet Lawrence is a younger version of Chase Sexton. He was the guy that comes out, and if he holds shots, he can just run away from you. Like, he had speed. Chase, I'm the speed guy. Chase Sexton's supposed to be the guy that when he's on, like, nobody can beat him, right? Like, we always felt like in Supercross that it was more, all right, when he figures it out, he's going to win. Well, now I feel like if he figures it out, he still might not win because he's got this kid in here. So Chase came into this race knowing that. And for Chase's sake, we'll just speak on him real quick. Chase has a problem. Chase has a problem, which is a problem that I think could be solved. But it's a problem that I think Chase can have to look at himself, figure it out, and look at himself that says, like, okay, I've been hearing this for a while. All these things are happening. If I go down, why is this stuff happening? Why is this happening? Is it the bike? Whatever it is. Well, Chase can look 10 feet from him, see a red number plate 18, and realize that he needs to change his stuff. Like, Chase, not Lars, not Honda, not Kia, not KTM, not Factory Suzuki, whoever it is. Chase has to do this. And he has the perfect scenario to be able to do that, because all he has to do is watch some film and see exactly where he's losing time at. Because I said in the race, and I'll say it again, Jet Lawrence has better lines. Jet Lawrence has a better technique than Chase. And it's clear on display that when you watch those two ride, Chase Sexton, his line selection, the way he rides, his technique, whatever you want to say, is causing him to not be able to close up on Jet. Because I do believe, from watching the race, Chase Sexton is faster, and Chase Sexton rode faster to around that racetrack than Jet. Before you say anything, shut up! Let me finish. I know the lap times didn't say that, but Chase Sexton was losing almost a second right before the finish line in two corners, not jumping over that hump. Why was he not jumping over that hump? Because he was rushing in that hump, and then he couldn't jump into it because he was going too damn fast into it. Same thing right before LaRocca's lead. If you watch Chase go in that section right before LaRocca's lead, Watch Jet go in that section. You see for yourself. It's pretty clear. And if you add that up around the racetrack, a guy can be going faster and go slower. That is the saying of like, slow down to go faster. I don't even know if like that really adds up on this one, but I just think if I'm Chase, I'm going to go back and watch it because I'm watching somebody on my motorcycle that rides just like me, and he is doing what I need to be doing. And I think once you start doing that, I think Chase would realize that he's a lot closer than what it showed. Like when he got in second place, like he pretty much just stayed there. He fell over at one point in the first moto, but the lap times, they just stayed there. And at some point in the race, Chase was going faster. He was closing up, but Chase would make the mistake just like he did at Paula. He would be fast in the open parts of the track, but where you had to be patient at, it was a little bit more technique, he was losing time. Well, there was a lot of sections at Red Bull, even though it was more open, the times that you would mess up and where you would make a mistake in the corner, you would lose a lot more time because the way the track is set up. If you didn't jump LaRocco's lead, you would lose time. Like the soil, if you made a mistake down in the off camera, now you're dragging going back uphill. So one mistake in the corner would cost you a lot more time. So when you watch Chase go around the racetrack, he is literally going faster than Jet Lawrence. But Chase would make two or three more mistakes than Jet Lawrence, which adds up. It was costing him. So Chase would be slower in one section, but be faster in the rest of the part. But that one section, he would lose too much time. And that's where you got on lap times. But overall, Chase is going to have to change that. And I feel like he can really watch the film because as I'm sitting there calling the race, you can just see it. And if I'm in Chase Sexton's corner, this is what I would tell him. Coming back in, especially after practice, where I was talking to Jason before the race started, and he was like, all right, we were talking about the Dungy and all that and the mindset. And I was saying like, well, he's like, well, Jet's 2 seconds faster. So does that worry Chase? And I'm like, oh yeah, anytime somebody goes 2 seconds faster, it should worry. But that 2 seconds is fairy dust. Like it's not 2 seconds because one, Jet's been riding every week. So, and Chase hasn't. Chase missed the last 4 races. So coming back in, anytime you miss races, each race you miss, it's like you lose like just time in general. So Jet's been out here riding. He's more comfortable. He gets on his bike. It ain't the first time he's been on it. His bike's more set up. So going around a racetrack and at the heap of speed, especially when you got somebody like him, he is going to be faster just in general. You put Jet in the same spot as Chase, he's going to be slower than Chase if Chase was here riding. So I would tell Chase that at least a second of that is just because you haven't been here. And so as we were talking in practice, I'm like, okay, take a second out. Now it's 1 second. Let's figure that part out. Maybe at the 1 second, now you're making those mistakes because you're nervous and you haven't been here. Now you're rushing things. Chase is actually at the same speed, in my opinion, that he is at Jet Lawrence. And I know for everybody that does not understand that, then you just don't understand. Ain't nothing I can say because like as racers, you know how things are. That's why every racer says you can never replicate racing. Why do they say that? It's because you can never replicate that intensity from racing. Well, that intensity is the part where Chase is lacking. Just like we saw for a multitude of guys that come back. It's always the intensity from Justin Cooper. Like he was fast in that one lap. But what happened in the race at Paula? It was the intensity. Those guys just blast out. And at Red Bull, Jet Lawrence was coming in to show a message. And so when you saw that 2 seconds, you saw a guy that's been riding every weekend. So the message was, it was sent to Chase, but it wasn't as bad as what it looked. So if I'm Chase Sexton's corner, I would be like, look, dude, you lost a second just because you haven't been here. The other part, maybe you're just making mistakes, but you're a lot closer than what you are. That's what ended up happening in the race. You know, Chase pretty much stayed the same once he got there, but he was making those mistakes. So nonetheless, if I'm Chase, I just need to realize that it's not as far as it looks. You were able to come here and you got a second to first moto. You went down to second moto. You're able to come in here and you got a second to first moto. You went down to second moto, but you probably would end up getting second anyway or close. You guys were closing in on Jet. Jet has the experience. Jet's going just as fast as he needs to. Dylan almost caught him, but then he realized like Dylan was there. I just think with you, you are the guy that probably would stop him. And you could tell with Chase's attitude after the race, coming in, getting third overall, first time back. Like, normally most people would be happy, but Chase wasn't happy at neither one of those because he said he didn't ride good. And Chase knows it's more, it's not that he didn't ride good. It's probably the mistakes that he was making. And once he watches the race, like, he'll see those particular mistakes. But Chase knows, look, I feel like I'm a lot closer. So if I'm his camp, I'm telling him that because it is the truth. If I'm Jet Lawrence, I'm telling like myself that it does not matter who shows up because I'm going to win anyway. I can go faster anyway. And I know this. So there's a lot of confidence on both of those guys. A lot of confidence can be taken from both of those guys. I just see Jet Lawrence, just what happened at Thunder Valley. Saw it. Second motor at Thunder Valley when he got on that podium and we saw him running through the pit. I was like, that's trouble. That's that 250 guy. And the last few weekends, you had German Chocolate showed up and you had this guy, Chase Sexton. I saw a guy that just knew, like, he's like, I'm feeling this. Like, I'm going to win. And he rides with that authority. So Chase is lacking just that experience. And there's a lot of pressure on him to be able to stop this because he knows, look, this might be the one guy that, like, even with Eli Tomac, we always said, well, if Chase didn't crash, then maybe Chase would have won that. Or if Chase didn't crash, maybe Chase would have won that. Chase could be in the spot that said, well, Chase didn't crash. Chase still didn't win it. You know, that's what he's seeing. So there's a lot of pressure coming on him, and that's what he wanted to do. And he wasn't able to do it. But that was all because his kids coming in, Jet Lawrence, phenomenal job. Now, I could talk about what Chase is doing or Chase didn't do. I could talk about lines that Chase did do or Chase didn't do. But that was all dictated because of what Jet was doing. And what Jet was doing was focus. Jet came out. He knew he wanted to send a message. He sent it. Sent it the first practice. Jet came out the first moto. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted a whole shot. He whole shot it. What did he do? Said he was going to, like, probably whole shot and try to run away from them dudes. More unlike what he's been doing all year. All year, he's been like letting that thing go, and then he just slowly go. Jet was coming out with authority, and that takes serious focus. That's scary because he's able to lock in, and he knows what's going on to know the situation to be able to come out and do that. So that was all dictated, what Chase was trying to do, what Jason Anderson was trying to do, what Dylan Frandes was trying to do. It was all dictated because they were trying to chase this number 18 dude that's out there riding phenomenal, doing exactly what he needs to do. And the kid looks good. I wouldn't even say he's a kid because he does not ride like a kid. His body's not built like a kid. And although he's a rookie, I said people like this 450 is suited better for him than even the 250 was. Like, it's almost unfair that it's like he's a seasoned vet. A rookie that's a seasoned vet. I don't know what it is, but it is. Simple as that. He is riding like that. And I think with all this, the circumstances, for whatever reason, people being here, not being here, it's led up to him just coming into form a lot quicker than most people expected. And I knew coming into the motocross series that there was never going to be a trouble of him like learning how to ride a 450, because he was going to ride a 450 better than he did a 250. Kid was built like that. You can even tell, like, he's put more muscle on. Kid's gotten bigger. Like, he knows. And almost like when you look at Chase, it's like he's like the third year of racing. Like we always say, first year rookies, they come in, they crash, blah, blah, blah. Second year, they don't crash as much. They will win a couple races, but they're not as consistent. Then the third year is usually when they get, well, Jet's in the third year right now. Like, he's bigger. He knows how to ride the bike. And compared to Chase, he's like the third year version of like Chase, where we thought he should be at. And nonetheless, Jet has been able to come in here and just, I guess what you would say is capitalize to the max of all the situations he's been in. Like, doesn't matter who's here, I'm going to get it 100% and get the most out of it. And he's able to get the most out of it. And this whole setup, having his brother at home, having Chance Hymus, winning these races at Lars, all the Honda team, all that's built up to where we're watching right now. And they all see it. They all see it. I see it. They see it. That it could be a problem if they're not. I just think with Chase Sexton and even some of the field, it's like the only thing that's not close is that the confidence of what this kid's doing, like the confidence in himself ain't close, but the speed-wise, it is a lot closer than what it was. But, hey, we can keep saying that, and he can go 22-0, and I can be like, damn, like, he just won all of them. And so far, all he keeps doing is just winning all of them, two whole shots. He does what he needs to do. He keeps those people at bay. Dylan comes up. He's like, oh, damn, I ain't know the Frenchie was right there. Like, I'll just go a little bit faster. Dylan was trying to hold on. Dylan's like, damn, this Yamaha is better, but it ain't that good. Damn. So it should be better next week, but it wasn't good enough this week. And why it wasn't good? Because he just kept seeing this guy who's won the last 8 motos in a row come in and win 9 and 10 on America's birthday. Disrespect. Disrespect. Comes in here and wins on a holiday. But damn, they was cheering Red Bud. I was cheering Red Bud. I was like, damn, Jet Lawrence. Oh, that was Jet Lawrence. And he was, only thing I would say before I even go into the neck burn, how you going to give Bambi some beer, some champagne? We had Bambi. He was drunk on there. We gave Bambi champagne afterwards. But that's the kid. You got to love it. You got to love it. Fans, you got to love it. But what he does love, and he's gotten all of them this year, and nobody stopped. He's got 4 previous. Now he's got the 5th one. Hit it for him. Cole, please.
Suntan, next on fire.
Neck burn, Jet Lawrence. You're getting tomac-ish. You're starting to get black like me. Like I said last weekend, don't matter. Y'all can send them all. We can go over to World War III. You can send all y'all troops. Because why? Y'all going to lose anyway. And that's how he feels. We'll see next weekend at Southwick, which again, your boy will be there. But Jet Lawrence, congratulations. Jason Anderson, keep digging, baby. Keep digging. You'll get better. Time Master Pool, I'm going to give you a shout out. Look, people thought, like I said, hey, it was Thunder Valley, the bike. The bike was allowed you to get up there. Well, partly why your bike was set up. But the other reason why is because, like, you're good, too. Like, you're good. Just because you got an 81, you can just flip that around and be 18. You'd be red number one player. What are you talking about? Now we're seeing Ty Masterpool, because of that third place and because he was able to get deep, he hit Cooper Webb like that, came in on Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb's like, damn, I don't want none of that. Had those guys, had those factory guys huddling up like a football team, and they mentioned it. They mentioned it afterwards. They were talking about you. Look, I mean, I had to get out of ride, man, getting a factory car. It was because of you, Ty. And so this weekend, I said earlier, like Red Bull's one track that, look, you ain't got to worry about like bike setup. Just worry about like going fast. Ty Masterpool was able to come here a couple years ago and start racing. Be dominant. Come back from an injury. Run away before he had a crash. So you know he likes this track. And the kid's good. But his confidence, people, is confidence. What he was able to do a couple weekends ago, that's why he's able to show up this weekend and like battle with these guys. Last weekend, he struggled a little bit more because that was more of a bike setup track and maybe the bike wasn't as good, blah, blah, blah. But Ty is feeling that confidence. So a shout out to him. He had his bike smoking. I don't know if he was blowing out shocks, motors, but that thing was smoking. And Adam Cincerella came in and he was like, dude, I'm done with this. Jumps in there, loses the front end. Ty goes and does flips. It was the Olympics over. But I don't know if he was going to make it anyway, the way the thing, that thing was smoking. But he did make it, and then he just blew up the second motor. I don't know what happened, but it blew up. We saw the smoke. It looked like he was losing traction, but I don't know. I don't know what happened. And then you had French Dylan Ferrandez. Like, you want to know how good Ty's riding? He couldn't even, like, Dylan couldn't get around him. All moto. Dylan was like, yeah, he was getting pissed off. He was pissed off. Chase was able to, like, eventually get around him. But that's because Ty was riding good. Ty got that confidence, and he don't care about no one. Like, he don't care about no one. And that was good. So shout out to him. He'll keep going. There'll be tracks that he'll ride like he did this weekend, and there'll be other tracks that he'll ride like he did last weekend. But it's all confidence, and that was because of what he was able to do at Thunder Valley. So keep it up, Ty, all those guys. All right, people. You know what time it is. My favorite time. Your favorite time. Stews and Stews. That was it from round 25. What? We'll be right back.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line, or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
What's up, guys? Your boy JS7, and we got some exciting news. If you haven't noticed, we can bet on Motocross Supercross. You guys want to get in on the action? I know these guys out here racing for a lot of money, but so can you. You can go to NXTBet/JS7 to get in on the action. You want to get out there and be banging with these dudes and have some action. Pick your winner, Jet Lawrence. I know he's pretty good. All these guys are pretty good. Well, take your chance just like each one of these riders every weekend. They go out there and possibly walk away with some money. And who knows? Maybe you'll end up on the show as a stew, or you tell your friends as a stew. There'll be more to come. NXTBets.com/JS7. Have your chance to win and possibly walk away with some money. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stews and Stew. Now, again, we always do, we got to start with the stew. The guy that just does it better. The guy that just stops anything from happening when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. It's like the effect of, let's just say, the Jet Lawrence effect. Things that's going to happen, just going to happen. And that's what we have. We're going to say the first one, because I want to save the second one for a special edition. We're going to call Jet Lawrence, you a stew. You know why you a stew? Because they sent Chase Sexton back. Why they sent him back? He came back here. He was thinking like, all right, he's going to be in here. Like, you know, he's going to be faster or whatever. No, you stopped him. You stopped German Chocolate last weekend. They thought they were close, but they weren't close. They weren't close enough. You were sitting there in the second motor, you riding, and you were like, all right, cool. Like, I'm looking for Chase. Chase must be in second. And then you hear this, this Yamaha coming back. You're like, oh, snap. It's French. It's Dylan Ferrandez. I don't want him messing with me. So you just pick up the pace, and you ride around. You say, I was just kind of chilling. Like, to me, that's just a stew. Why is that a stew? Because you dictating everything. You dictate what these guys think they might be doing, what they ain't doing nothing. And because they thinking they doing, and you really know they ain't doing nothing, makes you a stew because you just dominant. Chase Sexton, come back, whatever. You gonna lose. Ken Roczen, come back. Hey, whatever, Lou. Tomac Fonzis Keeley, whatever. He gonna lose too, right? That's what you thinking, and that's what you doing. And that's the definition of a stew. So, Jet Lawrence, you a stew. All right, my next dude. Now, we've been watching this kid grow up since he was a kid. And we've been watching this kid become a kid. Well, damn, he's still like a kid. We call him Danger Boy because he's still young and he's still dangerous. But we saw his daddy launch his bike at the LA Coliseum back in 1997. And when that, we still looking at that bike flying and we were watching him. We really have been watching him on YouTube. He's like the YouTube star, right? He's like that new millennial that us old folks just don't understand how all these kids can be riding together and doing all this stuff. Sometimes it's confusing. He's like that version. But this kid's got some grit. And I knew when he came in here, and shoot, Jordan Smith knew. He knew. This kid's got some fire. And we've been watching him grow up, so we feel like he's a part of us, like he's a little son or a little brother. And what the little brother or little son was able to do this weekend, he was a breakthrough. He met his girlfriend, and it was his first. It was his first. It was his first date, right? It was his first date. Hey, Deegan, from JS himself, I know it's special. Brian Deegan, great job, man. Haley Deegan, great job. You all a part of this. Star Racing Yamaha, y'all a part of this. But the real kid, the real star of the show is Hayden Deegan himself. So from when I seen you last year, when you were coming up short at Indiana, feet flying off, and then what we saw at the beginning part of the season at the Futures race, where you were there to where you are now. That's all you, kid. Congratulations. So I'm going to give you a stupendous stew from here because it's your first. And you were able to hold down for the American people on America's birthday by stopping the Australian industry. Congratulations, Hayden. For reals. Good job. You a stew. This is first stew, huh? First two. Cole's over here taking photos, so he ain't hitting the button, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. So, hey, Deegan, first two, hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, that's next on fire.
You want that? That's what I wanted. That's for you. I know it wasn't loud as the Red Bull crowd, but it was good enough. So, congratulations, kid. Your first two and first many. All right, people, my next list, Stu, pissed off. pissed off because, look, did you come back to this race and you thought you were going to do something and you weren't able to do it? Pissed off because you're like, damn, watching the TV and Jet's like, ah, man, he's, I can get him. Jet, are you pissed off because you're like, man, they put some respect on my name, put some respect on my name. Can't they see I'm playing around with these cats? Can they see? No, they keep sending them back. All these people getting hope and they think hope don't float. Wish in one hand and one another and see which one fills up. That's what they are. And it's pissing you off because you know how good you are and they just don't see it. Stewed. Nope. No one's on that list, people. Nobody's stewed. Everybody got out of there pretty healthy. And people that didn't get out of there healthy, they healthy now. Hunter Lawrence, great to see you back. I'm not putting anybody on this because it was America's birthday. It was a great weekend. Ain't nobody pissed off. My drive back to Chicago wasn't 3.5 hours. It was an hour. It was an hour and a half. I ain't stewed. The NASCAR race, they might be a little stewed because they got rain delay. I don't know, sudden like just start raining over there. They had the streets of Chicago blocked off. The Indy, NTT, they was up there like nobody was stewed. Why? Because it was a 4th of July weekend. And for some folks, it was almost a week off of work. They ain't never going back to work. We ain't even at the 4th yet. And they still off, people. They still off. They're going to be a lot of hungover people on Wednesday. I'll just say that. But nobody's stewed. Why they ain't stewed? Because it was a great weekend of racing where we had Jet Lawrence and we had Hayden Deegan do his thing. And it was a special weekend on America's birthday, 4th of July. Red Bud fans, y'all showed up. JS got in the Hall of Fame at Red Bud. Got me a plaque. Got to hang out with Jeff Stanton, Johnny O, all these legends out there, Ryan Dungey, all of them, Mark Barnett. So I ain't stewed. And they were cheering my name, man. I got to get on the podium with Aiden, like a number one plate or whatever it was. It was a nice plate, Hall of Fame JS. Oh, man, it was so good. So I ain't pissed off.
Hey,
y'all ain't pissed off. What are you talking about?
But I'm pissed off.
What?
Because you showed up late today. So I'm stewed.
Whatever. You're just negative. Like, don't you hang around some people and you just feel the negative energy? Like, now he's pissing me off. Because we had such a good show going and we were in the positive light. My lips are sticking. That got. See, I wouldn't have done this if it wasn't for you.
Well, you're saying nobody was stewed, but.
Oh, you can't be stewed. So as I was saying, people, before Cole rudely interrupted me, he's talking about he's stewed. They might even, we don't even see you. We don't even see you. I'm going to turn the camera around and like show who you are. But nobody's stewed. Cole says he's stewed, but he ain't really stewed. He's enjoying it. He's going to make his flight. He's going to be out of here. So Jet Lawrence, again, congratulations. Hey, Deegan, congratulations. JS, you ain't stewed. The fans ain't stewed. Who cares? Cole's stewed. Like, what's your last name again? Yeah, exactly. You ain't stewed. Nobody gives a poo-poo. I'm just kidding. I was late, people. I was late. I was like sleeping. But man, I was traveling. What were you doing this weekend? What were you doing? Watching Sonny? What a moose. You got to get back to his dog. I mean, come on, get me out.
AJ back, I gotta get back my dog. We ain't getting a dog.
Man, shut up. But we are bird lovers. I used to have birds. His lives a lot longer than mine. It's contact cleaner. Don't do that for birds. It ain't good. Yeah, man. And we getting that story a long time ago. But nonetheless, all right, happy 4th, people. When y'all are watching this, it's going to be 4th of July. All the riders, good job this weekend. Can't wait to go to Southwick. All the fans at Red Bud, seriously. It was awesome. You guys showed up. That's why we love this race. That's why it's our Daytona 500, our Indianapolis 500, whatever 500, no 500. It's the Red Bud 500. And it seemed like there was 500,000 people there. And I got to go up on the podium. Thank you for all the people at the Richies, AMA, MX Sports, all you guys for introducing me to the Hall of Fame. That was really cool. And the fans, as soon as they saw the black Sasquatch running through the pits, trying to get to that podium because I was doing the TV and I was kind of late. Man, they start cheering my name. It was awesome. And when I got up there, I got the old faithful Red Bud love. And that was pretty damn special. So JS got a little emotional. So thank you very much. Be safe, people. Don't lose a damn arm. I don't want you watching this show from the hospital. Be safe on 4th of July. Everybody, I hope you had a good weekend. I'll see you next weekend from Southwick round 23. Where we're going to find out what we find out. And you know what we're going to have to do. We're going to find out and break it down next week on next Tuesday. But until then, that was your Oakley, Stews, and Stews. Happy 4th, people. I'm out.